Pakistan, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, we asked Frederick Starr to help us understand the geography of Central Asia. He's chair of the Central Asia Caucasus Institute at the School of Advanced International Study. He came to our studios with a map.
This map is only 3 years old. We were looking for a map that would make Central Asia central. And a friend at the CIA commiserated with our problem and, unbeknownst to us, had it made up.
It has Afghanistan almost at the center, and for purposes of a radio audience, let's try to figure out how we can do this. Let's make Afghanistan the dinner plate.
It is the dinner plate. It's the historic dinner plate. This was the great switch point for the so-called Silk Roads. You had to go through Afghanistan. That was where everything came together.
How big is Afghanistan? I hear it compared to the size of Texas. That makes sense to you?
That makes sense. If you iron it out, it's a lot bigger, of course.
Lot of
These are
mountains.
real mountains,
Lot of
and
mountains,
not
yeah.
just one range.
And Pakistan would then be on our dinner setting to the right, with the knife and the spoon, and then down below, almost all the way around to the fork side. That's a big border there.
It's a 1,500-mile border, and we have heard in recent days that they closed this border. Well, it's absolutely unclosable. No way it could be done.
And over on the left-hand side, then we have a long border with Iran.
About 600 miles.
And north of Iran and bordering Afghanistan is we come now to the stands in the former Soviet Union, Turkmenistan.
Turkmenistan is important to this story because they're 1.5 million Turkmen people, Turkic, living in Afghanistan, and they are huge gas producers. So they dreamed of piping gas across Afghanistan to Pakistan and India, and therefore they've been willing to deal with any regime that will talk with them about that in Afghanistan.
And then more now to the top of the plate, Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan is one of the few double landlocked countries in the world, and it is really the power center of the whole region. 24 million people. It was the center of the Soviet military and communications and road network, and it is still, in a sense, the powerhouse.
There have been reports that the U.S. is sending planes to Uzbekistan and to Tajikistan to base them there for possible action in Afghanistan. Make political sense and territorial sense to you?
They're two very different questions. Territorially, it makes very good sense, especially if their actions in the north of Afghanistan. However, I suspect the real action will be in Kandahar, where the Taliban is headed, in Kabul, or on the border with Pakistan, over near the fork, I would guess, Jalalabad. Now, if that's the case, easier to enter from the east, from Pakistan. The other question about the coming in from Uzbekistan or Tajikistan is that there are 10% of the Afghan population, approximately, are Uzbeks, and maybe twice that percent are Tajiks. Coming in from there will look to the majority population in Afghanistan as coming in from the enemy side.
Now, going back around to the top of the knife and the spoon, we have this tiny little bit of Afghanistan that goes off to Kashmir.
This is called the Wakhan Corridor. It was created by the British to separate Russia and British spheres of influence. There is a road up it. It's pretty brutal territory, but it gives China a direct border with Afghanistan. The part of China that borders Afghanistan, however, is Xinjiang. It is populated by Turkic peoples, Uyghurs, Kazakhs, some Kyrgyz, and they are Muslim.
And Osama bin Laden has a connection with this region.
He does, and so does the drug trade that comes out of Afghanistan. A lot of the drugs go east through China to the east coast. And the Osama bin Laden connection has been training people who have gone back into Kashgar and Xinjiang for revolutionary activity there.
Dr. Starr, thank you for doing this with us.
Thank you.
Frederick Starr, Chair of the Central Asia Caucasus Institute at the School of Advanced International Study.